The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with SuperValue Travel Insurance. Don't worry about a thing with great value travel insurance online at supervalue.ie.
This month, 100 years ago, 28 men were about to enjoy a hearty Christmas dinner in the middle of the Antarctic Ocean. Three renowned Irish explorers, Sir Ernest Shackleton, Tom Crean and Tim McCarthy, were among the crew of what would become the most legendary Antarctic rescue mission ever, the Endurance Expedition. Little did they know as they tucked into that sumptuous Christmas dinner in 1914 that their next Christmas would be spent camped out on the freezing Antarctic ice, living on dried penguin and seal meat. On December 23rd next, the Shackleton exhibition in Dunleary will be recreating this final Christmas dinner aboard the Endurance for just 28 people, and I want to assure you, no penguins or seals will be harmed. I'm joined in studio now by Brendan Crean O'Brien, the grandson of Tom Crean, and by John O'Reilly, the owner of the Shackleton exhibition in Dunleary, who has cooked up an Endurance feast for me to sample this morning. Thank you very much, John. And welcome to you both, Brendan too.
Good morning, thank you.
And Brendan, 100 years ago, what was your grandfather doing aboard the Endurance?
Well, he was heading down to Antarctica with Shackleton. He had come in contact with Shackleton first in 1901 with Scott, and he had built up a rapport with Shackleton. So when Shackleton was putting his Endurance trip together, Crean was one of the first people he asked to join him. And of course, Crean jumped at it because he got on very well with Shackleton. There started a huge expedition. They lived for 10 months on the Endurance and trapped in the ice, and a further 6 months on the ice after the Endurance crushing. The whole rescue was a masterpiece of Shackleton. He had this ability to master people and manage people, and it was just one huge rescue.
Because the expedition itself had only had a very slim chance of success.
It had a very slim chance. It was a transantarctic. They had intended going from one side of Antarctica to the other through the South Pole, and I suppose it had about a 20% chance of success. There was another group coming at it from the New Zealand and the Aurora, and their whole purpose was to set out food depots for the returning group. So had anything happened to that particular group, and it didn't, had anything happened to that particular group and they failed to lay those food depots, the returning group, my grandfather, Shackleton and his colleagues, wouldn't have made it. Yeah. They had their own problems as well. But one of the successes of their trip was they did lay the food depots. But their captain, McIntosh, he drowned, and there were two other fatalities as well. And their ship, the Aurora, was trapped in the ice. So they had major problems also. So the whole Endurance trip was really kind of a knife edge expedition.
And Brendan, you've been to the Antarctic yourself.
Yes, I have. I have. And it was one of the things I couldn't understand what brought Crean back there on three occasions.
Explain the landscape to us in Antarctica.
Oh, the landscape is it's frightening. I mean, take South Georgia now, where they had to traverse at the end of that rescue, Shackleton, Woolsey and my grandfather. South Georgia is just all peaks. Peaks extending from the water right up 2,500 metres, 3,000 metres. Frightening to look at, but beautiful. And to think of these three guys, they had to cross over three of those mountain ranges to get to Stromness to save their colleagues, the 22 colleagues on Elephant Island. It was just so attractive to see it, and it was just so wonderful. Me, my grandfather being down there beforehand, I remember standing on the Fortuna Bay glacier. This was one of the bays that the three of them came down thinking they were heading for Stromness, and they suddenly realised they were down on the wrong bay. But I was standing there just looking up at the peaks, and I said to myself, God, these are the peaks my grandfather looked at 100 years ago, and I'm looking at them today. Conditions were different for me, of course, but it was a huge sense of history for me to be down there.
And John, it was a very difficult rescue mission.
It was absolutely incredible because after they've been stuck for 9 months in the ice, then the ship breaks up. And then they spent another 5 to 6 months actually camped on the ice as they drifted and drifted further north. Then finally they got themselves to Elephant Island, just a lump of rock. And at that stage, they all knew that nobody's going to just find them by chance, so they had to rescue themselves. So they took one of these small 22-foot boats they had. There was only three of these small boats they'd actually managed to get off the ice on. So they took one of these small boats and six men set off on this 800-mile journey across the Southern Ocean. And again, three of the six were Irish, which attracted me to the story originally. There was Shackleton, Tom Crean and Tim McCarthy from Kinsale. So these six men set off on this most extraordinary journey across the Southern Ocean, leaving 22 men behind who had no idea if they'd ever be rescued. putting their complete faith in Shackleton and the team to go on and do the rescue. Tom Crean was a very important part of that, as was Tim McCarthy, because they kept the men singing songs on the boat journey as they went across the Southern Ocean. And then, as Brendan says, when they got to the other, when they got to South Georgia, they suddenly realised, okay, we're on the wrong side of the island. So now they had to climb over the mountains to try and get to the bay, which they did. And in fact, now one of those, they crossed three glaciers as well as the peaks, and one of them is now named after Tom Crean. It's called the Crean Glacier. And then, of course, they get into the whaling station, and these whalers hadn't seen these men. This is April 1916, when they had left South Georgia in December 1914. So it was, you know, two and a bit years, and this first time these whalers had seen these men. Of course, they didn't recognise them initially. And when the station master finally said, "Well, who are you?" And Shackleton said, "I'm Ernest Shackleton." And then he suddenly dawned, "Oh my God!" And so he was completely flabbergasted by these three men. So then Shackleton, still with his leadership and his determination, he didn't give up. Then he said he still had to get back the 800 miles to rescue the 22 men, and that took him another four attempts on four different ships, because every time he got close in the ice, he got pushed back, and he had to went up to the Falklands and had another attempt, and back to the Falklands, and then finally he went into Punta Arenas in Chile, and finally borrowed a ship from the Chilean government. And it was only the fourth attempt was he able to get back in. The weather opened up, and he miraculously was able to get in and pull them in off the island.
Remarkable deeds.
Unbelievable. All 22 were still alive. And it was just 4 months after he'd left them. So these guys had lived through a winter down there between April and mid-August or end of August. And they'd survived it not very well. I mean, there was a lot of, you know, they were at that stage they were living off penguins and seals. That's all they had. And it was a huge achievement that he managed to get back and rescue them. And then, of course, they were still in the middle of World War One, so all these men returned back to England and then signed up and joined the war effort.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing.
And the sumptuous meal that we're going to talk about.
The sumptuous meal.
Before we do, we should explain that there are no penguins or seals with us this morning. Dead or alive with us this morning.
Absolutely not.
The authorities put you right on that, didn't they?
They did, yes. So, no, you're right. So what we're trying to do with the exhibition this Christmas is really just to commemorate 100 years since they set off. Because 100 years ago this December, early December, they left South Georgia to try and make the attempt that Brendan mentioned earlier. And they were slowly getting stuck. So as they got closer and closer to Christmas, 25th of December, they were actually pretty well stuck in the ice. Not fully stuck, but pretty well stuck. So they stopped and they had their Christmas dinner. So this was, and they had it at midnight on the 25th of December, 100 years ago this year. And so at that stage, they still had a fair amount of reasonable food on board. So what we have here for you to taste today is their starter was white bait. Okay. Which is not dissimilar to sardines.
Have you any white bait with us this morning?
I think we do. It should be there.
This is the white bait here.
Yeah.
John is currently taking it from a container. No, it doesn't look that appetizing. Can I give that one a skip?
You can give that one a skip.
I don't feel like a starter this morning.
On microphone. So apologies. Yeah.
Little fish.
So little fish, white bait, not unlike sardines. So that was their starter. And then they had what they're known as jugget hair, which is really just the way they preserved hair. And so we don't have hair, but we have a bit of rabbit here for taste. The rabbit is that there. That's it.
Okay.
And you can have a taste a little of that. And that's been cooked up in a little sauce. And hopefully it's warm enough for you now.
It's a bit on that cool side, but we're off.
So they would have had vegetables with that as well, of course, but potatoes and other vegetables. So that was the main course. And then because they were still early on, they still had mince pies and plum pudding. So actually, they actually did have a pretty normal dessert.
And what about the hoosh?
The hoosh was another part of their staple diet. And the hoosh is made up of a thing called pemmican. Pemmican is strips of beef wrapped in fat, lard or fat. And then they mix that with melted ice, and then with thickening it with some powder milk, and then also with biscuits, crushed biscuits. So that became a hoosh. And that was a regular staple diet for the men on board. And some people said you got used to it. Some people said it was an acquired taste.
What does it taste like?
It's very hard to describe the taste. And they would have put a bit of seasoning into it.
Oh, my God.
So it's like
it tastes like leather.
Leather. So that was what they had to live off those days. Now and then, obviously, no wine on board, because obviously they didn't bring wine in those days with them. But they did have drink on board. They had some rum, and they also had some stout.
Now,
a little taste of rum, and they had some stout. Now I'm not sure it was actually Guinness, but it was described as stout.
It wasn't O'Hara's anyway.
It wasn't O'Hara's, no. But it was a stout, and that's what they ate. And so they celebrated the Christmas, and they had sing songs, and they had they put up sort of streamers and bunting. And
how do we know all this, John?
It's from the diaries. So the diaries, there's a lot of them kept very good diaries, and And so all that is information that kept diaries. And that, through the years, those diaries have been transcribed into books, and people have written many, many books about the whole expedition. And so, and then other expeditions and exhibitions have been put on about it. So yes, there's quite a lot of rich material there in many, many books, which tells us how they survived and what the difficulties they went through, and the cold, I mean, the extreme cold. Like, your average household freezer is at, say, minus 20, minus 19, minus 20. These guys lived most of the time in minus 30. So it was that constant, constant cold. Now, I think they did acclimatize it to eventually, but and they were in the ship. While they lived on the ship, they had that insulation of being in a big, large wooden ship, which had a certain amount of insulation in it. But once the ship crushed and sank in November 1915, then they were literally on the ice, just camped in ordinary tents, ordinary gear. And the clothing in those days was pretty basic. They had would have had an inner lining of it's like a long johns material, and then they had just an ordinary woolly jumpers on top, and then they had a Burberry wind cheater. So again, it was windproof, but it wasn't always necessarily waterproof. But they didn't really need it to be fully waterproof, because the Antarctic is like it's a desert, and they get very little rainfall. So it's mostly the wind and the chill. But unfortunately, when they set off on that boat journey I described earlier, suddenly they were now getting wet. So six men in a small boat going 800 miles across the Southern Ocean, getting very wet all the time. And they developed trench foot, which is a thing that was developed in the World War One as well, because when your feet are constantly sitting in water, they get swollen up and very, very disability.
There was an amputation for a few people.
Yeah, well, there was one unfortunate guy, and he was a stowaway. So when they left Buenos Aires to head down to South Georgia, they discovered halfway down that this young fellow, a Welsh guy called Pierce Blackborough, had been sneaked on board and hidden on board. And so they finally put their hands up and admitted, okay, sorry, we have the stowaway on board, because he'd been helped by two of the other crew members. So when Shackleton found out, he was pretty annoyed. And he did say to the young fellow, he said, now, if we ever run into trouble and we have to eat anybody, you're first on the list, because you know, we can't have just any old stowaway coming along. So anyway, so he got on quite well. But towards the end of the journey, when they're on Elephant Island, when they were stuck on Elephant Island, he was one of the 22 men left behind. He had developed very bad frostbite in his toes. And so in those conditions, you can imagine what it might be like. They actually, one of the surgeons had to amputate his toes from one of his feet. And they had no proper anaesthetic and everything. So he was in a pretty bad way.
Painful experience.
But I've had his grandson actually has come into the exhibition, visited the exhibition. He's a Welsh fellow, and he was over in Ireland there last summer, and he actually came in and said, hello, and I have a lovely photograph of him standing beside his grandfather.
Great stuff. And Brendan, you learnt about your grandfather through the Shackleton diaries.
We were well versed. I remember playing with my grandfather's medals when I was 10 years of age. I could never read his letters. I just couldn't read the script. But in later life, it is lovely to read his letters. There's one particular letter. It just shows the relationship we had with Shackleton. There was one particular letter he got from Shackleton, and it started off, "My dearest Tom." It was a four-page of a handwritten letter. This is from my grandfather now, was before he retired. Just helping him, telling him about the problems he was having in London, and just encouraging him to take some exams for promotion, which he did, and when he got the promotion. But the relationship he had with Shackleton was first class, you know, Shackleton, my dearest Tom, and it was full of warmth and full of understanding, and it was lovely to read it. And when Shackleton wasn't there, Lady Emily, his wife, would correspond, because Shackleton spent a lot of time lecturing for sponsorship for the next trip he was going on. So, I mean, there was a lovely relationship there, but there were two Irishmen, and the two of them hop off one another, as Irish people do.
And John, tell us about the two events now coming up.
So, yeah, so this Christmas, so we have this, the dinner, and we're holding on the 23rd of December. It's close to December, close to Christmas, so the 23rd of December, open to the public, and the idea is to reenact this Christmas dinner. So, obviously, it won't be exactly what we described this morning. There will be some more sort of regular food, if you like, for some of the visitors, and we'd have wine as well, so you know, won't be just stuck to rum and beer. So yeah, so that's happening on the 23rd. So anybody can
looking for 28 people.
28 people, that. Because what we want to do is reenact exactly 28 people, and each person will be sitting down at the table, and they'll have a nameplate. They'll take on the persona of that individual crew member. So we'll try and make it a bit more interesting and sort of historic, and then we'll be a bit of a sing song after as well, and all that. And
that's, that would have to be.
And that's so that's out there, and it's open to everybody. It's open to the public, so it's just anybody who might like to come along and just, you know, contact us and.
What do they do?
Where do they contact you? Website is www.shackletonexhibition.com. Or contact the exhibition directly. 236-0544.
That's 01, obviously.
Yeah, 01, yeah, sorry. And we're open 11 to 5 every day all year round, actually.
And there's another event.
The other event is just between now and Christmas and even into the new year, where every weekend for Saturday and Sundays, we're offering families a chance to come down, particularly families with young children, because we know school children love the story and that we've had some great success with school children. But to bring families down and let them experience a bit more about the story and also to maybe sample some of the food and even to taste the hoosh that we mentioned earlier, because we've done that in the past, and it is perfectly safe, and it is quite interesting to see the children's reaction to this hoosh concoction. So yeah, so just this is running so the next Saturday and Sundays right through to Christmas and on the holiday period. So yeah, again, everybody's very welcome to come down and give
great
it a go.
Stuff, yes.
And so the exhibition is still on. We opened 2 years ago, and we're still running, and we're there for at least for another good while as well too. And thanks very much to Dunleary being a great support. And
well, listen, thank you for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
I was
going to
thank
us, John,
you for bringing in the food, but I'm not sure I should. I need something else to wash it down.
Wash it down, yeah.
Okay. The rum didn't do the job yet. But John O'Reilly from the Shackleton exhibition in Dunleary and Brendan Crean O'Brien, grandson of Tom Crean, thank you both for coming in this morning.
Thank you very much.
Our pleasure. Thanks very much.
Go off and eat the food for me.
Thank you very much. Happy Christmas.
Take care.